Joe, we'll toss it back to you.
All right, Woody, thank you. As wish everybody a happy Friday here, and hope our friends up in the northern part of the state are hanging in there, getting hit with a big boy. And so, meanwhile, down here, we look like we got a game tonight. Canes at home against Virginia Tech. First ACC game. And really, the only ones that matter, man. Only ones that matter. If you're going to lose a game, lose one of those non-conference games and get after it here. So I saw in the paper it said positive anger. Positive anger. I hope they have plenty of it, man. I hope they come out on a mission tonight. Kind of get this thing started in the right direction with Virginia Tech, who's going to want to run the ball, control it. They'd love to have 25, 30 first downs and just keep moving the chain. At the end of the game, they would love to see time of possession in their favor, and they would love to see the Canes get a little sloppy and turn that ball over two or three times, which, by the way, they have been great at taking care of the ball. For all the possessions they've had, as much as they throw it, and been real good. Good stuff. Good
stuff so far.
They
bounced back nicely against South Florida, but they did in that first half, Joe. They had the turnover. They had a few bad penalties too, man. And you can't have those in conference play, right? You can't hit a guy.
Yeah, you're going to have.
I know, but you can't hit a guy after he's a few feet out of bounds.
Yeah, not the dumb ones. I agree with you.
You can't tee off on the quarterback after he, like, you just can't do these.
You can't have frustration penalties where. Yeah, and those are.
I like that frustration. Did you come up with that on your own?
No, frustration called frustration. Penalties? Guy's been chasing him all day and finally gets his shot, and he's quarterback's 4 yards out, and he just says, screw it, I'm going to hit him anyway. Yeah. Son of a gun, I'm going to put him in the bench. It's called a frustration penalty. Or you're getting ready to hit him. You're hitting him all day, or you're close, and he's getting rid of the ball, and finally you just say, screw it. I know this might be a second later, and they'll allow. I'm going to knock the crap out of him anyway. They'll put my arms up like, what?
Just don't give those ACC officials any reason to throw a flag, man, because you know they will.
Well,
if they get the opportunity,
Woody,
you know they will. They're paid by the flag.
Woody, they are happening everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there is a lot of penalties. A lot. And I'm talking at the highest level, the NFL, college, high school, oh, God, I've been at some games, 14, 15 penalties by high schools. It just, you know, it's so bad. It's the only time I say anything when the officials walk by and go, Joe, how you doing or something? I go, I'm doing better than you are. They go, what do you mean? Can you not call a penalty on the backside of a play? If it has nothing to do with the play, please don't call it. But it was a it had nothing to do. I see what you're talking about. But the guy's 40 yards out in front of everybody, run in for a touchdown, man. Let it go. I can't help myself.
Yeah, it's tough to do that. But the flags have been problematic, right? I mean, you look at last night's game alone, and you got, you know, Al Michaels whining about it on TV. And
Woody, I got to tell you,
I don't know what you do, Joe, because it's not like, and someone made this point, like they're not bad penalty calls. It's just like it's bad.
No, they are good.
It's bad football.
And if they affect the play, like I'm
but
not.
But you can't do that. You can't officiate the game that way.
What do you mean?
You can say, well, this didn't exactly affect the play, so we're not going to call it. Like, you can't do that.
So, Julian Hill, I'm using him as an example because he had a ton of penalties. Mm-hmm. He has a holding call where the guy's outside of him. He couldn't reach block him.
Okay.
So, he just grabs onto the guy. So, now the play bounces outside, and he decides, I'm going to keep holding onto the jersey. I'm going to grab the jersey. So, now the guy can't get away. Easiest call, easiest hold call in the NFL. Nobody's fault except his. You can't get mad at the officials for those calls. You have one, and you don't let go, and the guy's getting off you and getting ready to go outside and make a play, and you grab him to hold on. You give your guy a little bit more time to run outside. They're going to call it. They're right there. He's going to call it every friggin' time. So, you know. The calls, they're not going away. If you jump off sides, you know, you don't line up right.
How much of that have we seen, by the way, these illegal formation calls?
I know, but you got to adjust,
like,
man. If
guys
they
lining
do it,
up off sides.
You know, the other thing is, you can ask the officials, when in doubt, sir, is this good? Yes. They'll tell you, yep, you're good. And the movement. I mean, this stuff falls back on the teams, man. I don't want to hear about noise. I don't want to hear, like, you know. It's not like they're throwing in a bunch of new rules on these penalties. These penalties are stuff that's been around. All these penalties, like Dolphins got 27 penalties. They got 27 penalties. And I'm guessing if you went back and looked at them, the coach would go, all right, I see it. I think officiating is really a hard job. I want to start with that. You agree with that, right? Officiating is
a brutal
really
job.
Hard.
And I think all those guys do is get ripped.
Yes. They can't win.
But you know what? And I've told you this too. I think at the end of the day, like when officials make controversial calls, it's good, right? I mean, because it gets everyone talking about the game. It's, you know, it's kind of a good talking point, and it's human error in these games, which is fine. It's just when they insert themselves a little bit too much, it just, you know, it obviously takes away from the game, right?
Well, you don't want to see penalties we've had games this year. They penalties three straight plays, and you're like, oh, my God. Hold on a second. The flag's down on the field, far side holding area. Okay. Yeah. Oh, he jumped.
Those plays are deflating. I mean, they're not fun when you get a play called back, you know, because all these – but and then on the college level, to shift it back to college, the review process has become – it's making the games very difficult
now
to watch.
That is more than fair. Or when they get together, even on a penalty, should not take that long. When they I'm glad they get together.
I guess
they huddle up and they go, all right, what are we going? That's got to happen fast.
Either you saw it or you didn't. But like the game last week, the South Florida game, the first half took over 2 hours to get through.
No, it's not good.
And it was, I mean, that game was over 4 hours long. Like, that's just not.
We had a 2 hour preseason game that was 2 hour first half, and they are
It's just too long. Like the NFL, at least their games, like they move like clockwork. They usually, for the most part, keep their games on schedule because they have windows that they need to stay inside of, right?
Yes.
But, yeah, man, that game on Saturday was long. And the problem is you got these guys that, like, the calls are, I mean, they called, what was it, Horton? They called him down at the inch line or something. They reviewed his play. Like, Miami walks in the end zone the next play after, you know, a 10-minute review. So the guy's got to go to the far side of the field. He runs all the way down there. He's looking through a viewfinder.
Right, right.
It's like, good God, man. Don't you have someone in a booth that can just either, like, tell you or just play? Like, just go?
Well.
Like, you can't get everything perfect.
So you know the other problem with this whole thing is cameras. How many cameras? And when South Florida plays Miami, it's not the same as when Miami plays Florida State. There's a lot more cameras at the bigger games than smaller. As far as foot in, foot out.
Yeah. That happened to be a flagship ESPN game, so I don't know what the situation was, Joe. But like for the guy to run across the field and spend 10 minutes looking at a play to say that the guy was down on the inch line, okay, let's give it to Martinez. They took the next play off essentially because you knew they were going to score. It's like
you would like to think that there's a way to speed some of that stuff up. I don't disagree with some of that review stuff. I agree. I'd like to see it faster in the NFL and faster in college football. Do not disagree with you at all. Hey, Larry Bluestein going to join us, our South Florida High School football insider. We're going to talk to him about some good games, real good games. And by the way, great game last weekend, Central at Traspel with their big comeback over American Heritage Plantation, who's got a really good football team. And we had another little upset in Broward County we're going to talk to Blue about, and then we got some great ones tonight, some really good games, and we'll tell you all about those as well and get you caught up. Maybe talk about your high school a little bit, and we'll hear the top five from Blue all coming up here in just a moment. But first, I do want to take a second this morning to tell you about Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah. All right, here in the middle of sports, and boy, are they big Dolphin fans, man. They are huge Dolphin fans, but more importantly, they want to take care of you when you have an injury. Yes, the partners of Cohen and Judah Injury Law Firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation. I always tell everybody this, the same partners who handle your case from start to finish, more than 33 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results and small enough just to call you back. One of the biggest problems in this industry right now, you see the ads all the time, radio, TV ads, and I always wonder, like, so I see these guys are pretty good at it. They got their name on the law firm and stuff. They've been around a long time, got nice cars, making a lot of money. Hey, man, do you handle any cases? I always like, hey, it's I mean, you're good, man. I see you're good. Do you handle any cases while you're talking? Oh, you hand them off to other guys, and then you give them a bunch of cases, and then they're stacked up with cases, and then people call about their case, and there's a little communication problem, a little slow getting back. All those things you were promised, they're just not happening. Well, that's not going to be the case when you go to Harvey Cohen and Gary Jude. I'm telling you right now, they'll get on the phone with you, answer all your questions. Just go to CohenandJude.com and read the reviews. Good stuff. Partners who you can always reach. I tell everybody that. Go to CohenandJude.com or 866-FAIR-FEE. 866-FAIR-FEE. By the way, if you're not happy where you are, find out what Cohen and Jude can do for you and how they can handle. Let them take a look at it. It won't cost you $1. Remember, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do. Harvey Cohen and Gary Jude.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, thank you as we bring in Larry Bluestein, our South Florida high school football insider for the last 200 years. Blue's been around, covering the whole state. And Larry, man, as I say good morning to you, I got to go back to last week. What a great game at Traz Pal. Central comes back from 21-6 down and beats American Heritage Plantation 35-32. American Heritage Plantation sitting here with a losing record and one of the best teams in South Florida. They're really good, yeah. Too.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I think it's 199. 200 years will be next year. But yeah, you're right. And we sat there and watched. I mean, there's been, 3 weeks in a row that you've had games like that. The Chaminade Heritage game.
Man.
The New Orleans Northwestern game. I mean, it's every week and it's crazy. And you're right. It was what a game. I mean, both back and forth. And those are two, as you mentioned, isn't it a shame as you look at American Heritage Plantation and they're 2-3. I mean, and they could have been in every single game and they were, the Milton game, the beginning of the year, and Milton's now 4 in the nation.
Right.
Kind of hard luck, but this is a schedule that they chose and, they still have the opportunity. They've got that. Probably they're going to play New Orleans twice, once in the regular season in a couple weeks, and then the second one will be in the playoffs because they're the only two 4A programs in South Florida that really have a legitimate shot. But, yeah, you're right. And you know what, even though the Hurricane Helene cut into yesterday, a lot of these games are going to be rescheduled. There's still some really good games every week, and this week, you got a lot of district matchups. You have St. Thomas Aquinas going up to Orlando Bishop Moore, who's undefeated now, and one of these games, they don't go out of the area too much during the regular season. It's usually the first game or so. But,
surprised to see St. Thomas has really picked it up on the schedule. I don't know what happened with Twan and Coach, but they have really stepped it up. By the way, before I forget, I got to go back to Piper beat Ely.
Yes.
I know Piper's undefeated. We never talk about Piper. And
yeah.
And by the way, how about that? Ely, you were really high on them. All of a sudden, they got a couple losses here.
Yeah, well, they beat Chaminade, and then when they beat Chaminade, things kind of went south. They lost to Delray Atlantic.
That's
right. And then last week, Piper, and let's give Piper credit because Quentin Short, who used to be at Douglas, has done a tremendous job. One of the better coaches in South Florida, doesn't get a lot of the respect that he deserves. And his team's got a chance to go 8-0 before they face somebody, the next step. But, I mean, he came in last year, won a district, with Piper after, successful run at Douglas, taking over from Coach May. But you got to give Piper. The Bengals are doing a tremendous job. And they've got a lot of talent. We saw it in the beginning, when they played Cardinal Gibbons in the kickoff classic. And even though they lost the first couple series, they had an opportunity to put the game away. So, yeah, they've got talent.
Yeah.
And you're right. And I appreciate you bringing them up because of the fact that they deserve it. And a lot of these teams that, never get on the radar have an opportunity now, thanks to you guys and everybody else, to kind of jump out into the spotlight.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Hey, by the way, got to ask you about a couple of games. We'll run through them to cover all of South Florida. Southridge and Homestead. Homestead was supposed to be, I think you really liked their town. A lot of people did. Here they are 2-2, and Southridge is at 4-1. Who do you like in this game tonight, Blue?
Yeah, this is a district game, and it's pretty much a championship game. And as I say, even though you win one game, you're still going to have to play a team like that the second time. Southridge, they're trying to you got to give them credit. They're trying to return to that glory back in the day, the Don Solinger day. and they're doing a tremendous job. Coach Pierre Sinatis, everywhere he's been, he's under the Ice Harris coaching tree, done a tremendous job at Miramar when he was there, and MacArthur, and now he's been at Southridge a couple of years. And you know what? He's still something that hadn't happened in a long time was tapping into that area. You know, the Goulds area, the South Miami Heights area is the one that, you know, the Cedric Irvins, the Davis brothers back in the day, that's what made them successful, and they're doing it again, and they've got a really legitimate shot to win this game. The only loss was a 3-point game against Columbus to start the year, and a game that they made some mistakes, but certainly they've got an opportunity to win this game tonight on the road, but still, you know how far is on the road? It's like just down the road. They're playing at Harris, and should be a probably it is the marquee game in the area.
Give the South folks a little something tonight. All right. Chaminade is going to Western, and Western, I know, is loaded with talent, but they're sitting here at 1-3. They're at home again tonight against a Chaminade team that's getting better and better and better and getting more confidence. What do you expect in this one?
Yeah, last time they played, you and I were there. We were on the sideline for that game, and out west. And yeah, you're right. I mean, before the season, I said, you know, you look at this game, and I said, you know, these are two teams that have an opportunity to go in this game 5-0. And I said, because, the success that Chaminade's enjoyed and then, you know, slipped up a little bit, you know, lost a tough game to Bosco. Bosco's undefeated still. So, you know, it was a tough loss. Then they went through the quarterback change against Ely, and ever since then, they've just been putting up points. And here's a Western team that, you know, they're losing games, but the 2 weeks ago will show you a little bit. They had St. Thomas on the ropes. It was 15-6, and they had an opportunity. Listen, this is going to be a game. I really do. I think Coach Rakovich is going to bring his, you know, team together and say, listen, we can get right back on track, even though this isn't a district game and it's not a 7A game. It's still a game that's going to carry some weight in South Florida. So you have an opportunity for them to get right back on the horse and see what happens. It's a great opportunity for them.
All right, and I got to ask you, Plantation, quietly 4-0. Steve Davis, no longer the head coach over there, but they're off to a nice start. They'll play another team from Plantation tonight, American Heritage Plantation. Boy, I'll tell you what, American Heritage Plantation got to be a little salty these days with having a chance to have such a great record, losing these games.
District game. This is the opening of the district. This is the first time that Heritage and Plantation's played in I don't know how long.
Wow.
I mean, I don't remember. And this is a district opener for both teams. Coach Darryl Strong, former Plantation High player, played at Pitt, played in the NFL. He's the new head coach, and he's done a great job.
Yeah.
And you could see it. You could see it, Joe, during the summer. They were at almost everything. They beat Coco twice in 7-on-7. This is a program. Obviously, they're going to have their hands full because, as you said, Heritage is a little salty being 2-3. And they can get right back in the horse tonight, in the district, which is going to be very important because they still have Norland in the district and they still have Archbishop McCarthy. So, and that's another team.
Yeah, Archbishop undefeated.
Undefeated, but you know they'll be tested to the max tonight. They got Norland; that's their first district game. So those four teams, Plantation, Heritage, Norland, and Archbishop McCarthy, are all that district. So it's not an easy district. Yeah, it's a gauntlet, but nevertheless, it's and Plantation's a team. Like you said, Steve Davis did an awesome job and continues to be in that. You know, the capacity where if they need him, he's always there. He's not too far away. And I think that's going to be a really good game. I'll give you another game to keep your eye on.
All right.
Calvary Christian has probably never beaten Cardinal Gibbons. Calvary's 5-0. They have an opportunity tonight, and I think this may be their best opportunity. Now, Gibbons is down, but they're still, they're still a team you got to watch out for, and certainly a team in 2A. This is not a, this is one of those games where, Kirk Hoza, who's the head coach, has been on the sideline, this year, so he hadn't had an opportunity to fully be in the mix. But certainly this is a very talented Calvary Christian team. They've got a number of kids, so that's a game as well.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, definitely to keep your eye on. And I'll give you another game also that has an opportunity. We mentioned it briefly, but St. Thomas going to Bishop Moore. Bishop Moore feeling pretty good. They got one of the best quarterbacks in the state. Coach Hedrick has done a great job. They're undefeated, getting a Catholic versus Catholic school. And, you know, you give St. Thomas credit for going out there, let be in their kickoff classic. They went to Bishop Rowe and in Fort Myers, and now they're going to Orlando to play a really good football team. And certainly I know that Roger Harriott and his team come in as a huge favorite, but you know how that happens. Anything can happen when two really good teams get together.
Yeah, all right. So this is a tough one to do because all the big boys been playing a big boy schedule. But you got to give me your top five and see what you have this week.
Well, I'm going to give you a bonus. I'll give you top 10. Because,
okay.
You know,
if you're that good, go ahead, Blue. If you're that good today, you go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. St. Thomas stays one, obviously. Central stays two. No, I put Chaminade up to three only because of the fact that they played extremely well. You got Norland at four. You got Heritage at five. Northwestern is six. Northwestern has Central next week. So,
oh,
you know, that's
boy.
Yeah. Plantation will come in at seven. Southridge at eight. Monarch, who's also played a
wow,
pretty tough schedule.
Wow, Monarch's in there in the top ten.
Yeah, and they got Chaminade next week. So that's, you know, like I said, every week. And I put them at nine. And Columbus is at ten. They got to play a tough they play South Dade this week. And certainly let's see if they can get back on the horse. But I'll tell you what, Joe, every single week you and I are coming strong with the great games that happen. And, you know, it's because of the fact that we mentioned in the offseason that a lot of these teams, when the end of the season comes along and the national rankings come out and they're not in the upper echelon, it's because they don't play a schedule like a Bosco. They don't play a schedule like Bishop Gorman or Mater Dei. And that's why they weren't being ranked so high. Now, last year, Chaminade finished two behind Gorman because they played that challenging schedule, and they beat St. Francis Academy. But, yeah, it should be really interesting the rest of the way. This, like I said, now
I'll tell you what, Central and Chaminade, the last few years, have had a championship, a national championship, talented team. Boy, they have just been absolutely loaded. Blue, thank you, man. Really appreciate you coming on, as always, my man.
Any two at time, Joe. We'll see you next week. Big week next week.
Can't wait. Northwestern Central. All right, Larry Bluestein, our South Florida High School insider, joining us to talk a little bit about where everybody stands and the games that might be in your community. If you're not going out to watch UM tonight, you want to go out and watch a little high school football, grab a little one to get out there, man. They would love to see you out there for sure. So a lot of stuff going on. Do want to take a moment to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic and the great work they're doing, and the great results I've had, full-blown ED and low T. And matter of fact, my wife said, can you stop telling everybody, please? I go, well, you know, I just want, there's guys out there that have it, and you don't have anywhere to turn, man. For guys, where do we go? You don't go around telling everybody, hey, you've been a good friend of mine. You know, I got ED. And they go, oh, geez. Now that I can do there, man, nobody, oh, man, people run from you. So, hey, Atlantic Men's Clinic is where I went for this, and 7 months ago, it was bad. It had been bad for a while, not like it just hit me. And I was same way, like, what am I going to do? Because this little blue pill is not working. And I got to tell you, Atlantic Men's Clinic put together a program, got my low T levels back up. ED is absolutely 100% gone. The sex drive is back. The energy level is back like it used to be, and just everything. Feel like working out every day, no matter how long the day is, still feel like working out. Your energy level on the weekend, where it used to be nap, nap, nap. Oh, I need a nap. Now you're like, hey, man, hey, bring the kids, bring the grandkids over, man. Let's go do it. Hey, I got to tell you, if you're going through this right now and don't know where to turn to Atlantic Men's Clinic. I'm telling you right now, they have served South Florida since 2020, successfully treating thousands of men. I go to the plantation location. They have six locations out South Florida to serve you. And I just want to let you know, a Florida licensed medical provider will review your results with you and discuss your options. You'll make the decision together with their medical team. Your initial visit includes medical consultation, a T and a PSA test. And if you sign up for testosterone treatment, the day of your appointment, the visit is free. Come on, man. Get back and get rolling. There's no reason that you have to lose everything. Don't let people tell you you're getting older, it's normal. No, it doesn't have to be that way. I'm just telling you right now, call 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com to learn more. Atlantic Men's Clinic, it works, guys.
And now, It's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Woody, what do you have for us today?
Well, first, Joe, I'd like to get us started with a weather report, if we could, here. It's brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law from youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. And it looks like the rain is going to be gone, hopefully, by the time we kick this bad boy off tonight.
Go away. Come back another day.
2:00 here is where we're looking at the rain today. And it looks clear, low 80s.
Good.
So we should have some good football weather here in South Florida this evening. All right, getting to some headlines here, Joe. And we had an emotional day yesterday out in Oakland.
Oh, it was, man.
A lot of people weighing in on this thing, by the way. A lot of the baseball media just destroying the owners and the everyone basically involved in this thing here as Oakland said goodbye. This is a tough one for me because I know their attendance wasn't very good. I know Woody, they wanted a new stadium.
This topic's been going on. It's funny, the Coliseum topic, and it is the oldest stadium there is. I mean, it's been outdated for baseball. Football was a disaster, and we played on an infield like half the friggin' time we played there. The locker rooms are a joke. They're smaller than the high school locker rooms at Traspal. They were really bad. And nobody goes to the game. We know something about that. Nobody goes to the games. Mm-hmm. And so the frustration, then they sell it out yesterday, which was pretty cool seeing the whole thing.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen if something like that happened here, right? If the Marlins were just like, we're leaving for Vegas. Like, what would be the reaction of people?
They're saying we would still be there if you did what the city of and county of Miami did. We'd stay. Problem is, they got a sweet-ass place down there, and nothing's friggin' changed. So we don't have that to like, if you got us a nice field and the seats, like, were built not for football. I got so sick of hearing that. So I said, okay, I get it. So they built them like a friggin' – not only did they build a place, they put a top on it. So, if the games are at 7, they're going to happen.
I think if you embrace what the Marlins are, you'll have a good time over there. We had a great time at the Ohtani game. And that leads us into our next one here. And this is getting a little dicey here with this 50th home run ball.
What a story.
So there's a lawsuit, obviously. There's a lawsuit about everything here, Joe. But one of these guys, the guy is an 18-year-old kid, and he filed a lawsuit. Golden Auctions has the ball right now at the moment. That is Ken Golden. He's the guy from the Netflix show, Peyton Manning show. You know Golden Auctions.
What's the value of that ball right now, Woody?
Starting bid of $500,000, Joe. They have a buy it now price of 4.5. So it'll go somewhere in between there. I don't know what it'll sell for.
4.5 million?
Yes. I don't know what it'll sell for. Yeah, I know.
No wonder there's lawsuits.
Buys these things.
Actually, I saw the ball and it should have been 20% mine.
Yeah, so I guess the way that this will end up going is they'll probably break this kid off a little something, right?
So the kid's saying he had the ball first and the guy ripped it out of
his
hand.
That's what he's saying. Now,
how do you prove that? Like, how do you go about proving that? His buddy
who had six beers? There won't be any conclusive video, I don't think. It's just funny. Like, he ends up hitting it to opposite field. We had moved to right field to try to catch the ball.
Yeah.
But,
I thought for sure. All home runs.
He was crushing him out to right.
Center. I thought go up deep, go up around the 440 area and grab it.
So needless to say, we had a judge down here who denied holding off the auction now. And their argument was like, hey, let's hold off the auction. Let us finish our, arguments here because the value of the ball is not going to change.
Right.
Which it probably won't. Right. I mean, Ohtani is already cemented as one of the greatest of all time.
How wild is that he broke that record here and hits on the final day of a three-game trip here, hits three home runs. You cannot make that up.
If I wasn't there and I didn't get to experience that with my son, I would say it was borderline sad. It just was. I mean.
Why?
A lot of empty seats, man.
What's different than the rest of the year? Empty seats.
I found it incredible, by the way. I told you I was waiting in line to get in. We're talking to a couple guys behind us who flew 20 hours from Japan to be there. Bunch of Dodgers fans flew in from L.A. because it was just cheaper to go to a game here.
Yeah. They draw 45,000 a game out there. We draw
yeah,
four.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, again, it was borderline sad that like he did such a historic thing here. But I, you know, again, I don't care because I got to see it. So
you know what the articles look like here, Woody? Hmm. I see the articles because the Herald does a pretty good job of keeping up on the baseball team and the prospects, because it's mostly prospects. A couple of guys, everyday players that have had Berger had a good year and hit, 29 home runs, got a couple games left. Problem is you've lost 100 games again.
Okay.
And you still don't have enough everyday players that look like they have a chance to be really good in baseball. Everybody else got them. Everybody else. Baltimore's got them. Reds got some of those special guys. We don't. Pittsburgh's got some.
I get everything you're saying. I still don't. I don't dislike the product, man.
What do you mean? So if you're just going because you're going, I just want to go to a Major League Baseball game.
So the fact
I'm going to go watch the other team.
You could go to a game like that, which, let's be honest, Joe, if you were in L.A., what do you think the prices on a game like that would have been to see him break that record? Get in price of a few hundred dollars, right?
Woody, are you
for
telling
$20
me?
On the day of the game, you could have sat right behind the plate. So, like, again, to me, having a cheap product like that that does a great job marketing, their giveaways are fantastic, they do a great, have a great kids club.
Wow.
I don't know.
So
man.
Why don't
it's
you
fine.
Be this soft on all the other teams in town? I'm just curious.
Because
why aren't you like this with the Heat and the Panthers and the Dolphins?
Because those teams matter.
Baseball doesn't matter to people?
Apparently not.
Because of it goes back. They lost 100 effing games.
That had nothing to do with the Ohtani game. Joe, they didn't even need to open the second tier of seats.
No, it was bad.
By the way, did you see that people somehow went down to the box office and bought seats in the 300 level? Bought hard tickets of seats in the 300 level, even though it wasn't open? Apparently, the box office sold people those tickets because they were selling them on eBay for $500 a pop the next day. Guys had stacks of them. Tickets are collectible, too. I don't know, man. I like the convenience of it. But I do like the other teams to be good, yes. Very hypocritical, I know.
Makes no sense what you're saying, but it's like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
If I didn't know, but I think you were dating one of the people or you had a relationship going with one of the marketing people over there. That's enough.
I may. All right, speaking of that and an overpriced memorabilia, overprinting memorabilia here, Joe. So Topps Now is a thing that Topps does where they print a recent moment in sports on a card, right? Panini does this, Topps does this, and right after Ohtani hit the 50-50 club, they launched the Topps Now card of Ohtani setting the record.
Yeah.
There is a one-of-one where Ohtani signs his name and writes and inscribes it 50-50 club, a one-of-one. So there's one of those cards out there which would be worth, I don't know, probably as much as the baseball.
Jeez. God.
But the problem, though, is, Joe.
What?
You have a 1 in 653,737 chance of getting that card because they sold damn near 654,000 prints of that single card.
Oh.
I think they were $9 a pop.
Woody.
Something like that.
I don't even know, like, it used to be everything with Topps. I don't even know who does what now. I don't even know whose cards are the most valuable cards.
It's getting a little tricky. I think you'll get a little more clarity here sooner rather than later. But
was Fanatics own everything? Is that
Fanatics
the deal?
Essentially owns everything now? Like Panini has a few.
Are they
things.
Keeping the names of the companies that I'm guessing they bought the companies.
Oh yeah, like Topps Chrome is back.
Okay.
Right? They actually have Topps Chrome basketball.
Forever,
they have Topps football.
So I'm glad they're keeping that name around.
They're both unlicensed products at the moment. But here, the bigger problem, though, is you have, like, some athletes are signed with Panini, some are signed with Topps. So if you open up a licensed Panini product, you will not find Victor Wembanyama's signature. Not in there. If you open up a Topps product, you will find Victor Wembanyama's signature.
Wow.
And this is
so these guys are under contract with these.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's a little messy.
I'm outdated,
man.
I'm outdated. So who's Tom Brady with?
Tom Brady is with Fanatics. That's why he's at all the events,
yeah,
tagging along with Ruben and Channing Crowder.
I just want to go to that one party that they have.
Yeah, every Fanatics event I see Crowder now.
Rolling in a good group right now.
I wish I was a little better friends with him.
He's part of the Fanatics family. He and that podcast.
All right, in hoops news here, Derrick Rose officially announced his retirement. It feels like Derrick Rose has been around for 50 years. He's 35.
I got to tell you, man, I wish he could have stayed healthy
Me
his
too.
Whole career.
Sad.
God,
really
he would
sad.
Have been just crazy good. We'd be if he was could have stayed healthy without all those injuries, we'd be talking about him as one of the
He won an MVP, remember?
Just would have been unbelievable. He started getting injured early.
He did.
And they just couldn't go away.
Yeah, I think it was 2012 was either the MVP or the ACL. But he had all the knee issues. And
even later, he still had his moments where he was pretty good.
Yeah, that was kind of disappointing there. All right, Joe, I want to let you know that on the topic of memorabilia here.
Yeah. I got a long way to go. I'm so outdated on all this stuff.
And 561 does make a good point. $9 for a potential $1 million card, better odds than the lottery. That is true. You got a 1 in 650.
You know what? We were talking about this during the break. I go, Woody, so what's the chance of some guy just going out and buying a random box of cards,
mm-hmm,
whatever, baseball or football,
and hitting the gold. Yeah,
you go, well, it can't happen, but it's
very unlikely, obviously. But so Topps Now just did this recently as well with USA Basketball. They had a card that had LeBron, Steph, and Kevin Durant on it, right? That they were selling for $9. You get the generic little paper card.
Yeah,
one person got one with all the signatures on it. A one of one.
Man, that'd be something. So what do? They tease you and they go, we got one card.
Yes, they do.
We have one card that they actually signed.
And then when you buy them, at $9 plus shipping. You spend $50 on a couple of them, and then you get them in the mail, and it's just the paper.
Wow. Woody, man, you're up on all this stuff, man.
I'm trying to be.
You might as well give me more stuff like what's going on this weekend.
Well, I can do that for you. I'm going tomorrow. I'm very excited about this. The Coral Springs trading card.
You're going to Frank Gore Day.
I'm going to Frank Gore Day.
What about Dupe the next day? Don't forget about Super Dupe.
Super Dupe and his honey will be there Sunday. But this is the Coral Springs Trading Card Show, September 28th and 29th, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the Coral Ridge Mall, 3200 North Federal Highway at Sinbad Sports in Fort Lauderdale. I told you I'm targeting some. I think the Ohtani stuff is, it's kind of,
you got Ohtani
going out of control a little bit right now.
You've mentioned Ohtani a lot.
I have a few Ohtani cards that I bought like when he first came in the league. Couple of
you have any idea what
rookies.
They were?
They're not. I mean, nothing crazy. I didn't buy anything crazy. Like,
what's
I got
that
a few
mean?
Topps Chrome rookies.
So were they worth a couple $100?
A few $100, yeah.
Well, that's good.
They were like, I don't know, $75 at the time. They're probably worth $300-$400 now. But again, his market is peaking. But
Woody, who's the hot football card right now that's out?
C.J. Stroud, pretty good. Can't go wrong with C.J. Stroud. Now, they haven't come out yet with the new class of rookies, but I imagine the Jaden Daniels stuff will be hot. They have college stuff, but the NFL stuff sells a whole heck of a lot better than college stuff.
Yeah.
You can buy Cam Ward stuff if you want.
Can you really?
Absolutely. Cam Ward has stuff in Bowman. He's got stuff in Leaf. Products have his autograph on them. Oh, yeah, you can get his stuff for sure.
I did not know all that stuff.
If you want to invest, you want to take
Woody, I got a long way to go. I am way behind.
You buy that stuff, and he wins the Heisman and goes in the top 10, then you did good. But you can find that stuff, thousands of cards to buy, sell, and trade. Vendor tables are available. Hopefully we see everyone out there tomorrow and Sunday, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, the Coral Springs Trading Card Show, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, the Coral Ridge Mall, 3200 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale, Sinbad Sports. Go to SinbadSports.com. You can get autographed tickets and info. Frank Gore will be signing tomorrow from noon to 2. Mark Duper signing Sunday from noon to 2. We'll have a Mark Duper jersey to give away later in the show as well today. For autographed tickets and info, visit SinbadSports.com. That is the Coral Springs Trading Card Show this weekend, the Coral Ridge Mall, 3200 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. SinbadSports.com for more information.